Well, good. I thought I had time for a quick extra sip there. Good evening from the United Kingdom, wherever you are in the world. I hope you are doing great today. If you don't normally watch live streams or, you find them too long and boring, this is the live stream for you because I'm going to be talking about why I believe there's going to be another recession on the way. I'm going to break it down by things that have already happened and things that I believe are still to come. Before we get into that, a message from our sponsor today, me. If you haven't yet joined our private community, let me just go to the screen a second here. If you look below in the description, a lot of people have told me they didn't know how to find it. It's always in the description where you can find the link to our private community. Just going to show a screen share here. I post in here at least twice a week. I post in our forum every single day, and we do all sorts of things. I post about all sorts of things from the housing market, real estate, general economy. We talk about all the different successes this year, from silver, which was 100% return on investment. 2020, 2021 was the 20 coin crypto challenge. We did about 200%. And then this year so far was Polkadot, which is a crypto, and we're sat at about 85% to 200% return. Obviously, that is just what we've done so far. It doesn't mean that it's going to be like that all the time, but we seem to be navigating these crises quite well at the moment. So the link is in the description. I'm not going to plug it any more than that. There's your sponsor for today. Okay, which was me. Now we're going to get into the recession part. And one thing, normally I say, everything repeats, there is nothing new under the sun. But this time I think there's a little slight tweak to what actually might happen. I think a few economists have picked up on it, but the majority, the 99%, haven't really picked up on that. And that's because, and I'm going to give you a little riddle here, and maybe you'll get a prize, maybe you won't, but I'll let you know who gets it right. Because it comes across as somewhat as a riddle what's happening in the economy right now. And it's quite easy for the UK, so we won't use the UK as an example, but let's say in the United States or Canada. How is it that the unemployment rate is now back to where it was before the pandemic kicked off and everything else happened, but yet there are millions and millions of job openings when the statistics show that new jobs haven't been created? That is the riddle for you. I have the answer, and I want to see who can figure this out. It's quite an interesting answer, actually. So, what's already happened then that has got us to where we are right now? Let's go through this. So, number one was the COVID outbreak, which started in December 19, but really it didn't hit the West until early 2020, and then lockdowns in March 2020, depending on which country you're in. So that was really stage one of this process, although this started a long time before that. And what it also did was it created, or should I say, it created the destruction of globalization. Now, that doesn't mean that globalization is going to be completely decimated and destroyed and it won't come back, because I think it eventually will come back. But right now we're seeing huge breakdowns, and the breakdown of globalization is one of the key, there's sort of three or four main components of this runaway inflation, which of course is transitory. Yeah, of course it is, right? There's aspects of it that are transitory, but the bulk of it is not transitory. It is prolonged inflation. So that is really stage one here. Stage two was, of course, the Fed's response. They did exactly what many people forecast. I wouldn't say that I forecast it perfectly because I didn't expect the sheer level of quantitative easing. If I thought they would have done that, I would have called the housing market differently. So that's probably one of the only things I've actually got wrong in the last year and a half. I didn't expect that sheer level of QE. I knew they were going to go down to almost zero with the interest rate. That would cause all of the everything that's occurred basically. But of course, all of this new currency then created stage three, which was the asset prices just exploding in value. People think they're getting richer, but Really, they're not. All that's happening is the wealth divide between the rich and the poor has gone from this to this. It's like the Grand Canyon now. And I mean, we're talking trillions of wealth transfer. And people say, no, it's not wealth transfer. You know, these economics professors. No, Neil, it's not wealth transfer. This was new currency created. This was new. You know, we've created this. This is a good thing. No, you haven't created anything. All you've done is added more numbers, more digits. There was no new production. There was no new productivity. There was no growth. Nothing was created. All you did was create new currency and put it into a currency supply that was already stretched with the level of debt. So what's this done? It's created a bigger wealth divide. And this, of course, has created more social unrest, more conflict. And you'll see, this is the, people don't see the correlations. The only reason I see it is because I've studied history and I've seen these correlations throughout history. The more you create this wealth divide, the more extreme things become. And, you know, you have all, we won't even go there. You know, YouTube doesn't like us talking about it, but we have all of these, you know, extreme things going on now between different groups. People identifying as this and identifying as that. And you're not allowed to say ladies and gentlemen anymore. You know, it's banned. And, you know, there's things in universities where they want to outlaw the words us or we of professors because they may not identify with the group. You know, it is absolutely absurd and outrageous what's going on. So this is the way it's going. And this is part of the explanation of it. But really what should have happened, I should add this point in before I forget it. When we went into this recession and March time of 2020, the asset prices should have crashed down. Houses should have crashed down. The stock market should have crashed down. And yes, the stock market did go down. It did see a severe correction, which then corrected itself. And you know, a lot of people were very unfortunate. I don't blame them who exited. They exited because they thought it was going to continue down into this crash. I think most people thought that at the time. The only people that said, no, don't worry, it's going to go back up double were, you know, brokers and people that were selling stocks. But they'll say that anyway. You know, you look at the papers from New York in, you know, just before 1929, when you had all the, you know, the crashes and everything went on there. They were saying the day before, this is the best time ever to buy stocks. And if you're getting value from this podcast, then you're going to love my private community, which can be found at patreon.com/Neil McCoy Ward. We have over 1,000 members in that community. It is a fantastic community of like-minded friends committed to finance and economics. Every month, not only do you get my investment-based posts, but you also get a video which is all about macro and investing. So if you're not sure what to do with your money at the moment and how to invest going forward, you should definitely join the private community over on Patreon. Thanks for listening. Madness. So always add that caveat with it. So they should have gone down. They didn't because of what we just talked about in the stage before, which is all of the asset, the currency creation, which then got pumped into the supply. I was listening to someone this week. You'll probably know who this person is. Very famous hedge fund person on all the main shows all the time. I'm not talking about Peter Schiff, by the way. And you know, some of the things they were saying was absolutely outrageous on their video this month. Talking about, and it was, I think it was only last month or the month before, they said oil prices will never hit $80 again. And I'm like, what? Have you not been watching the energy markets? These things are imploding right now. Of course oil is going to hit $80 a barrel again. Where are you getting this concept? Oh, all of the quantitative easing, none of it. I hate when they use that word. None of it's gone into the currency supply. It's all on central bank asset sheets. No, that is not what's happening. This is absurd. In fact, let me just jump in with another point. A lot of people misunderstand this. Treasury, government, they create treasury bonds. Okay. They can't just put them into the economy like that. You need intermediaries. You need a central bank, you know, commercial banks, we'll call them. And this is how it's all brokered, these deals. Commercial banks then get hold of it. And people say, well, where does, the central bank then gets hold of the treasuries, etc. People say, well, where does the Fed get the money from? It creates it out of thin air. That's where the money comes from. It's not money, it's currency. That's where it comes from. The Federal Reserve, a private institution that is neither federal nor a reserve of capital. In fact, we don't even know who the shareholders are. I've tried to find out, lots of people have tried to find out. We have no idea who the shareholders are of the Federal Reserve. And of course, that comes down to the question that people often ask, who do we owe this debt to globally? How can we be indebted? How can each person owe almost $500,000 per person in the United States? How is that possible in terms of future liabilities we're talking here? Who is this money owed to, right? This is the conundrum. This is the question. And it's, again, it is somewhat of a riddle. But if you find out who the shareholders are, you solve most of the challenge. Let's move on then. We've talked about the wealth gap getting wider. This leads to social unrest, which we've seen already, but we haven't seen the bulk of it. I think there could be more to come. Stage five really is the inflation then. So we saw the first wave that I talked about back in July of 2020, how it would be about 12 months approximately, possibly 18 months before we saw that first severe wave hit the economy. And that was maybe 2 to 3 weeks out from really where it hit. So that was one thing. Now, the next wave then, that's wave one. The second wave is now in sort of full swing. I've just, my voice a bit hoarse today because I've just spent the last couple of hours creating a video for you. It'll be out this weekend on this huge energy crisis that is about to hit, well, it's already hitting around the world. It's already hit Europe. It's hit Asia. It's hit the UK the hardest, I would say. But it's actually going into the United States and Canada as well. Not many people are talking about it yet, but it is going to hit the United States. I'm going to explain it all in detail, very detailed video, with the conclusion and action steps that you need to take to protect yourself, because it is going to be a bad one this winter. So that's the second wave. This is energy-based inflation. GDP, again, people don't talk about this, your gross domestic product, is produced by energy. You have to think everything comes from energy. Like me talking right now, I've had my dinner, you know, I've had something to eat, gives me energy to actually, you know, do these sort of videos. Same with you. You go to work, you eat food, you drink water, you need energy. Everything is based on energy everywhere, globally. So this is what GDP comes from. It comes from energy. When you have a massive shortfall of energy, it produces spiking prices. I'm going to go through all this, so I won't cover it all now. But this is what's causing the second wave of inflation, as much as 500% increase in some energy prices, depending on the fuel source, which is why they're now going back to fossil fuels. They're crazy. We talked about this. That's why I told you all to invest in uranium and other things, because we knew this was where it was going. We knew they were going to backtrack. Okay, so this is the next thing. Now, the third wave then hasn't hit yet. So you're going to see another wave of inflation. And this is why I don't believe what this, again, this person was saying, oh, 2-3 more months, all the inventory is sat in people's houses, blah, blah. Look, this stuff is madness. Sometimes people have to say certain things because they have hedge funds and they have funds and they have to protect all of their own assets and things like that. Doesn't mean it's true. Right. Oh, yeah. All the inventory, all the food and the cleaning supplies are in people's pantries. No, they're not. Speak to the average person. They don't keep more than a week's worth of food at home. I speak to people all the time. I ask them weird questions. They probably think I'm strange. You know, how much food do you store at home? Do you store this? Oh, probably a week. One guy actually I spoke to yesterday, he's completely oblivious to everything going on. He goes shopping every day, every 2 days. He just pops into the supermarket, buys whatever food he wants to cook up that day. I'm like, how can you not have any food in your house at all? He thinks it's normal. He thinks I'm mad, but we'll see who's mad when all of this hits. So that is the third wave then. So you are going to see more inflation coming down the line. The supply chain isn't going to be sorted out by November. Again, this person's talking nonsense. You're going to keep seeing this. You've got at least 6 months left of this inflation, if not longer. I think we're probably going to see it longer. And again, people were talking about interest rates this week. Well, the only thing we can do is a Paul Volcker massive rate rise to 20% interest rate, that won't solve the problem. That is not going to stop the runaway inflation. It will eventually, but what you're going to have first, you've got to sort out the two-thirds of this inflation right now is not just from the currency printing. It's other things. It's the energy and it's the supply chain. So yeah, you can whack interest rates up to 20% and that'll be okay for a short while, but then the businesses are going to borrow this money from the bank and then they're going to pass that 20% on to the consumer. You're not going to be able to escape this. This is now a black hole that we are sinking into. There isn't really an easy way out of it. They can't lower interest rates anymore to stimulate the economy. It hasn't worked. The GDP figures, the CPI, is all inflated. It's all manipulated. It's not true. So that's where we are right now. So what's next? Well, more inflation. I haven't changed my forecast in the last 5 to 6 months about the tapering. This is where they reduce quantitative easing, so asset purchases. I still believe they're going to do that in November. We're hearing a few murmurs about it now. I haven't changed my opinion. Some people are like a yo-yo. Oh, they're not going to do it. Yes, they are. No, they're not. Yes, I haven't changed my opinion on that. I still believe they're going to do it. And if that ends next summer, so let's say the beginning of Q3 next year, 2022, or let's say it's in, you know, near the end of Q2, so we're in the summertime, what you've still got is $500 billion. And again, it's different for each country, but it's almost the same everywhere. That's going to go into the markets. So people that think there's going to be a housing market crash in December, I've got news for you. It's probably not going to happen just yet. I still think the housing market's going to crash. I think the stock market's going to crash, but they're just not going to crash just yet. Is it going to be a week? Is it going to be a month? Is it going to be 2 months? We don't know when it's going to happen. This is the thing with stock market crashes. And as I always say to all of my private members as well, the community, when the butcher, the baker, the postman or woman starts talking to you about the stock market, that's when you know you need to get out. Because once every sucker has been drawn into the market and they're putting their life savings in, that's when the central bank's going to pull the plug. They're going to pull the plug and then all the big wigs with all of their trillions of dollars and their hundreds of billions and all the hedge funds, they're going to liquidate. They're going to go to some heavy cash positions. They're going to sit there and they're going to wait for everyone to panic and then they're going to buy back in. Again, making this wealth divide even greater. So we've got all this to come yet. But I do believe that in terms of the recession, we're already in a second recession. Did we really even get out of the first one? It depends how you look at the statistics. I think the figures are highly manipulated. So did we even get out of the first one? Not really. If you print loads of currency, put it into the economy, double account for it and say, oh, look at all this GDP, then yeah, okay, we got out of a recession. If that currency didn't go in, we'd be in a very deep recession. In fact, we'd be in a depression right now if it didn't all go in. All that's done is made people poorer. It's made things more expensive. So what else? More energy problems in the future. I think that's going to come to pass as well. And then you're going to have, and this is going to be the shock that's going to take people by surprise. You're going to have either a large institution or like the Evergrande crisis we've been covering, you're going to have something like that. Maybe it's going to be a major bank that one day is just going to close its doors. I think it's actually happened this week in Lebanon or countries like that, where people went to the bank and the bank has closed its doors and people are banging on the doors to get their money. They can't get their money. This is why I say don't leave all your money in the bank. You're crazy to just leave all of your life savings in the bank. I'm going to do a coverage on pensions as well. I think that's crazy. People leaving all their life savings and all their pension in the pension. These things are so underfunded. They are so heavily invested that they're having now to speculate just to get reasonable returns. It reminds me of what I forecast a couple of years ago in the UK market, where I said all of these huge student blocks that they're throwing up in all the city centres are going to cause an issue because there's going to be too many of them. and then therefore lowering prices. So the margins won't be there. For all the pension funds who invested people's pensions into these blocks, well, now it's triple as bad, because not only have they got all these blocks that are empty, the students aren't coming. All of these overseas students, they're not coming. So all these pension funds are trying to cover their losses by speculating even more risky assets. This is what we are walking into. This is just a massive collapse waiting to happen. I just can't believe people can't see it. And all these funds and all these media outlets interviewing these hedge fund gurus who are talking absolute nonsense. They are just trying to protect their own investments, their own assets, their own egos as well. That is all it is. Listen to what they have to say, but don't buy into it. Look, I'm not selling you anything. All I have is my private community where I make an income. YouTube pays me pennies. I'm not like some of the big wigs that get paid tons of money from YouTube. They don't pay me a lot, believe me. So that's so I've got no bias. It's the same when I'm mentoring you or doing coaching sessions, the group. There's no bias there because I've got nothing to sell. You see, if someone's trying to give you advice and they've got something to sell you, then or worse, if they've got nothing to sell you, but they want you to invest in these things, they're getting commission from you investing in those things. Surely you can see this. Surely you can see what's going on. Either way, what does this lead to? Eventually, you're going to see a massive crash and you're going to see businesses laying off staff, more automation, more AI. AI is a whole nother story we need to cover another day. That is a crisis just in the brewing as it is. Very dangerous the way AI and all the tech and biotech and things like that are going. Very worrying. But it's going to lead to more unemployment. And what does more unemployment lead to? Unemployment scarring, where you're just going to have a major crisis. So people ask me, oh, are you happy that you sold out of the stock market and the housing market and things like that? 100% I am. I'm 100% happy. I just don't see why I would want to take such severe risks right now with these unsteady markets. I still have assets. I still have assets that make me money, make cash flow every month. But for me, without taking these massive risks. And I think that's the best way to be right now. Okay, I was going to show you some other stuff, but I think that's probably good enough for today. And I can show you some other stuff next time. I hope this helped. Please click the like button, help the video get ranked. Until next time, take care out there. God bless for you and your families. See you soon.